Good evening.
Psalm 21. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exalts. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you. You gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Amen.
I see you finished the water. That was his. I should have gotten him a tall glass, says Chris. All right, let's turn in our Bibles at this time to two passages, actually, very close to one another. The first is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 to 24. But then I want to add a second passage, which is in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 11. But first of all, let's hear God's holy word from 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 to 24. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, that always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. And going back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Here ends the reading of this portion of God's word. Let's bow our heads together now in prayer. Our Father, we ask for your Spirit this evening to shine a light into our lives, into our memories, into our futures, and we might recognize that from our past and present and future, we have every reason to give thanks, that we might recognize the work of God in Christ Jesus in all these realms and all these dimensions of our lives, so that we would be giving thanks always for all things in Christ Jesus, through whom we pray. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." There's no question about the benefits we have constantly outpouring in our lives from God, but do we forget them? And if we do forget them, how can we give proper thanks? And what to become of his benefits if they are not accompanied by thanksgiving on our part? What is salt? A child was asked. And a little boy defined salt this way: salt is what always spoils potatoes when it is left out. And that is the way to describe thanksgiving for God's gracious benefits. His benefits are spoiled in our hearts when thanksgiving is left out. And so the question is, why forget not? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Well, there's many reasons why we forget. I've got three to give you. Three reasons why we tend to forget his benefits. We forget, first of all, because we often confuse his works with his gifts. This is the most subtle reason, and we are not always aware of the distinction between his works and his gifts. The benefits of God are not mere gifts, they're works. The word in Hebrew is gemal. It is a work. It means a deed, a work done, rather than a gift or a thing. The psalmist proceeds to recite the many good works that the Lord does in behalf of his people. He forgives, he heals, he feeds, he refreshes, he delivers, he pities his people. All of these are his works. And the point is, the psalmist doesn't write of all the really swell things that God has given to him. Oh, I prayed and believed God, and he gave me a herd of camels and a 2-story condo on the Mediterranean. That's not the idea at all. But you certainly hear a lot of that on television. Religion. No, far, far too often our first thoughts are on things that we may gain for ourselves. What will God give me? What should I ask God for? And who among us would not be tempted to regard wealthy, high-paying jobs and today's luxurious homes and cars as a sign, certainly, of God's goodness and his good favor toward us? Yes, I received all those things. But the thing is, they are just things. Just think, what kind of relationship would we have with a God who merely sends packages, as it were, in the mail? The government does that. It's rather a funny story about Rudyard Kipling at one time. He was so popular that his writings were getting 10 shillings per word. And a few college students that didn't really appreciate Kipling's writings, they sent facetiously a letter enclosing 10 shillings. And it read, "Please send us your best word." So what do you think he sent them? Thanks. Just gifts do not make a thankful heart. In Deuteronomy 8, God forewarns Israel about when they would go into the promised land. And he warns them that when you are full, beware that you do not forget the Lord. The Lord will be pouring out many gifts in the land, and they will be receiving the fruit of the previous inhabitants of the land, and they will be given the sun and the harvest time and the rain, and all these things that would bless them. It would make them comfortable. They would each have their own a fig tree to sit under. And he says, these are things. I warn you, just receiving these things, and you may forget me. And they did. So first of all, we forget because we confuse his works with his gifts. Gamal, that's what we should be thinking of, all the gamals that God is giving to us, works. Second, we forget because our culture is covetous. Of course we live in a covetous culture. Our culture doesn't encourage contentment. It encourages discontentment. And nothing does so much as the Black Lives Matter movement. Discourages discontentment, drawing a warped perspective on today's race relations as though it were as bad as they were 100 years ago, and it just ain't so. But the people feel that way and they become discontented. It's a political thing. Commercials, every day, they are an enterprise designed to stimulate a feeling of discontentment with one product so as to stimulate a covetous spirit for another product. That's the way our culture works. Our culture is covetous. Third, we forget because some benefits are sent to us in disguise. Often God's packages are tied in rough wrappings. Underneath are the spiritual blessings. Well, if you ever saw the way I wrapped Christmas presents, you would understand. Rough wrappings. There's got to be something better in it than looks on the outside. But that's the way God works in our lives. We have home conflicts, but we don't realize that behind the wrapping, it may be therapeutic, in which God is developing true character of love and patience that really builds a family relationship. Unemployment, it may be gaining a terrible benefit to us, even though it's a terrible condition to be in. And that benefit is faith and patience in the Lord. Speaking of patience, when we fail in our lives, and every one of us knows the feeling of failure, we are trained for a higher work, to keep on keeping on, to go back in perseverance. That's patience, and it's built through the rough wrapping of personal failure. There isn't a person, man, woman, or child, who doesn't know exactly what failure is. They do, and they will. So James tells us in James 1, 2 to 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The rough wrapping is the various trials. The patience is the gift. That's another one of God's wonderful gamals, his works. But because we have them sent to us in disguise, we often don't recognize the fact that the only difference between gray and silver is the shine. Romans 8:28 therefore speaks to us all of God's gamals, God's good, faithful benefits. God causes all things to work together for good to them that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And so I say, give me a gamal before you give me a gift. Anyone can give thanks instinctively when he's, for instance, saved from a burning house or a watery grave. And in a rush of feeling, they cry, thank God. But in the days after, they overlook the continual outpouring of benefits that follow. It's not the rare hours of thanks for special blessings that show the man. It's the common hours and the common years of thanksgiving that identifies us. No, he who is occasionally clean isn't a clean person. And he who occasionally gives thanks is not a thankful person. It takes more than Thanksgiving Day to make us a thankful people. It takes more than special blessings from God here and there to make us a thankful people. It takes what they call thanks living. And how do we practice thanks living? How do we, in other words, live in the spirit of thanks continually, always, for all things? That's thanks living. How may we discover God's gemuls in life. That's how we will learn to live in a spirit of thanksgiving. Look and watch for God's working in your life. Come to a point in your life where you may say, I begin to discern what God is doing with me. And it may be after a very hard experience. So let's look how we may discover God's benefits. There's three ways of working in our lives that we should be on the lookout for. We should look ahead, we should look around, and we should look behind. All these ways we will see God working in our lives. We look ahead, that is blessings by anticipation. That's one way he works. Psalm 21:3 that Tom read says this, "For you meet him with blessings of goodness." The NIV says, "For you welcomed him with blessings of goodness." Literally, the word means anticipates. And the idea here is of the Lord going before us to provide blessings along the way. As we wander through the wilderness, he's going ahead to prepare oases for us to arrive at and find comfort here and comfort there in the journey through life. In John 10:4, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, blessing by anticipation. Look ahead. Sometimes it seems that our crises, that God isn't there listening to us. We say, where is he? Why has he hidden his face far from me? Well, he may be way ahead of us, preparing for us for the moment, the day, the date on our arrival when the things will have worked together that we cannot understand at this time. He is anticipating our arrival at that point, even as he is working. I remember one woman who had a terminal illness. In her pain, she prayed that the Lord would take her. She couldn't take it anymore, and he didn't answer her. And she felt forsaken by him at that time. And it wasn't until later, as the time grew near, that she found peace. And he was there for her at that hour. And he was ready then. He was ready to receive her, to escort her across the Jordan. She gave me a blessing, and I shall never forget it. Though the way may seem hard and nothing appears on the horizon at times in our lives, and I know those dark times, just remember that somewhere along the way, you will meet the Lord who has gone before you and awaits for you with a blessing. That's blessing by anticipation. Look ahead. Second way we may discover God's benefits, his works, is by looking around. That's his daily provision. He provides our daily bread, as we prayed this evening in the Lord's Prayer. Deuteronomy 33:25, as your days, so shall your strength be. It's that way. Each day he provides. If he goes before us, he has already been there and knows exactly the nature of our need. And so in our plight today, he does what the psalmist of Psalm 23 says. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Daily provision. Yes, today we look ahead and we can't see. He's up there. He's up there. You can't see it. He's up there. But what about today? Today is all you need to worry about. Give us this day our daily bread. His benefits is timely and it's sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee for each day. Some are afraid of dying. Some are afraid of being persecuted or suffering for their faith because of hard decisions they must make. Some hate the idea of being rejected for Christ's sake. Others are afraid of losing a job. Some don't even have enough for the next bill. Others are afraid to bear witness to Jesus Christ. But the point is this, look around you. He provides for you today that which you need. You need only to obey. The provisions of the Lord are always adequate to our need. For my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. grace for gain and grace for loss, grace for life and grace for death, grace for service as well. And then the third way we may discover God's benefits is not only by anticipation, looking ahead, not only by daily provision, looking around, but blessing by pursuit. And that's looking behind you. And that's an interesting way of conceiving how God has been working. He's following our steps, as it were. He pursues us. Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And on that ground, I am certain I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The word follow there is radaf in Hebrew, and it means to pursue or to run after. It's the picture of a predator in pursuit of a prey. That's an amazing analogy of God. He's the predator, and he wants to crush us to his heart. He pursues us in our lives when we flee from him especially. No, the prey is unaware, and we may be unaware. The predator is fully cognizant of every step we take, and he's ready at the right moment to leap to our capture and rescue. David speaks of it as a lifelong experience until the day he enters into the eternal house of the Lord. But the Lord pursues us in many ways and at many times, and one individual who spoke of this in a poem I hope you've already know, you ought to familiarize with, is "The Hound of Heaven" by Francis Thompson. He was the son of a physician, and his father would like to have him to study medicine. But Francis wasn't interested. He preferred to live an immoral life of pleasure and dissipation. And so he fled from his father, and he went to London. But it didn't work out for him. There in London, one thing led to another until he found himself penniless and forlorn. And that is when God found him. That is when, you might say, God caught up with him. And so Francis discovered what irresistible grace is. Years later, he became a famous poet, and he wrote this poem as a testimony of the pursuing blessings of God that follows us. He called it "The Hound of Heaven." "I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him. And under running laughter, I vistied hopes. I sped and shot precipitated adown titanic glooms of chasmed fears. From those strong feet that followed after. But with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, they beat, and a voice beat, more instant than the feet." And then follows the message of the heavenly pursuer speaking to him. "All things betray thee who betrayest me. All which I took from thee I did but take, not for thy harms, but just that thou mightest seek it in my arms. All which thy child's mistake fancies as lost, I have stored it for thee at home. Rise, clasp my hand, and come." How God does pursue us. He follows after us. Look behind you. Look at the record. Watch the providence. You may be amazed at how the Lord has been working to lead you to this point. And for what purpose? That you might clasp his hand. How can we then be sure of these benefits? They're all found in Jesus Christ. Blessings by anticipation, look ahead. Blessing by daily provision, look around. Blessing by pursuit, look behind you. How can we be sure of all these benefits? They are absolutely sure to us because they can all be found in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? In Christ. In Christ, every spiritual blessing is found. It is in Christ that we have life. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. And you draw from the passage I read from Ephesians 1, and look at the benefits we find in Christ. He chose us before the foundation of the world, in Christ, verse 4. He freely bestowed his grace upon us in Christ, verse 6. He has redeemed us through Christ's blood, verse 7. And we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of Christ, verse 13. And it all adds up to an everlasting inheritance in Christ, which he is preparing for us now. And as he is preparing it, we recognize his gemals constantly at work in our lives by anticipation, by provision, by pursuit. But it's all to bring us to that goal of the everlasting inheritance of Jesus Christ. It's made possible by Jesus Christ, and it happens because of Jesus Christ, and it is happening for Christ. And the one thing is that if it is in Christ, then it can never be taken away. It can never be lost. I mean, just take one look at the world as you might turn on the television at night or read the paper or whatever it is. The world, it goes after its material wealth and its moral abandon. Men scratch and dig and bite and claw to get to the top of the heap and to find that nothing but an emptiness and vanity is there. We have seen more men exposed by this election that cause us to despise them than anything they could possibly have promised. And in the end, they go to their grave with no more than they came into the world. As Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 2:11, I considered all the works of thy hands, my hands, which I had done, and the labor which I had toiled, and indeed it was all vanity and grasping after the wind, and there was no profit under the sun. But friends, in Christ Jesus, God has blessed us with that which cannot pass away. It cannot be stolen. It cannot be burned up. It cannot wear out. It can't be used up. It can't be taken away. His blessings cannot be removed because they are all in Christ, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I pray that the Lord would open the eyes of our understanding, see the spiritual perspective, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory and of the inheritance of his saints. Because that's what all his gemals are moving us toward, his works, his benefits. And no matter how he works, whether by anticipation, daily provision, or by pursuit, no matter how deep the wounds we suffer along the way, no matter how dark the pit, no matter how insurmountable the hedge of circumstances around us may seem, we ought always to say, I don't like what's happening now, but I look at what Christ is doing now. And I will say, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his gemals, all his benefits. And so the table of communion is given us to open our eyes to all the benefits toward us in Christ Jesus so that we don't forget. Communion is given to us so that we remember and not forget all his works and the benefits. He is the one who shed the blood for us to make us partakers of all his benefits. And is now the promise of the totality of blessings that we are guaranteed in him who loved us. That's all symbolized there, the totality of all the blessings, so that we do not forget. This evening, as we contemplate these things, let us bless his name with all that is within us. For he said, this do in remembrance of me and all my works. Let me pray. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we pray that you make us a truly thankful people who live our thanksgiving because we are looking with the perspective of what you are doing, not just the gifts and the immediate answers to prayer that we are asking for. Our perspective, Lord, is so short-sighted, I know. And you are so long in perspective, and you see the end from the beginning, and you are so patient with us. Lord, we ask that as we approach this table of Holy Communion, that our hearts truly may be awakened to the gift of all gifts, the greatest work that has ever been achieved, ever been done, the beyond which nothing more could be given, heaven itself, because of the blood of Jesus Christ represented here at the table. Help us, O Lord, to give thanks above all for that work. And help us, O Lord, to seek from you minds and hearts and memories that will never forget that. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.